a sinner, knowing there's no way for you to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ, and you come to that realization this hour, and you would accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can assure you one thing, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. And even after you're saved, if you realize that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we're supposed to grow in that knowledge, and we return everything we have to Him, He will change your life, and again, you will never be the same. You'll never be the same. Thank you for this great day. As I said, I know we have a lot of people is out sick. We just want to be praying for them. They might be with us in our next service. But we're talking about Wednesday night. It's dealing with our evangelism and our soul winning and our outreach on Wednesday night. Again, I hope you're here on Wednesday night. Wednesday night is a great, great time to come to church. In fact, every time that we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a great time to come to church. But I thank you for those that comes on Wednesday night, Sunday school, and also the rest of our week services that we have. But this morning we want to be talking about the last words of Jesus Christ. And we know that is in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is Jesus Christ's last words. Not last words while he was on the cross and went and died and stayed in that tomb 3 days, rose again. But this was afterwards. He was fixed to go back to heaven. This is the last word that the disciples heard from Jesus Christ. And I know that you've heard this many, many times, but I really do believe we need to hear what we have heard before about the Great Commission. And are we really faithful to that Great Commission? If we were faithful for that Great Commission, I could tell you one thing, there would be more visitors in our service today. There would have been more visitors in your Sunday school class today if your class is being honored the Word of God and sincere what Jesus Christ has told us to do. There would be more visitors in our Sunday school class. I'm assure you this morning in all the classes there were some empty chairs. I wonder if a name belongs on that chair. There's some empty pews here this hour. You know, there's some people named belongs on these pews. These last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'd like for you just to imagine before we read these few verses of Scripture, just imagine now that someone is on their deathbed. You know, someone that you love and you respect more than anybody else, and they're coming face to face to death, and maybe it's your father. You know, I just want you to think back, maybe it's your mother, or maybe it's your wife, or just maybe it might be your husband. It might be your brother or your sister. It might be some of the your grandparents, or your grandkids. I mean, they're coming down to the last moments and the last minutes of their life. They're fixing to leave this world. But as you come face to face with them in the last minute or two, you see their lips as they begin to move. And you see a deep concern come across their face. And you realize they got something and they'd like to tell you. I'd like to ask you now in all sincerity this morning, would you listen? Would you listen? I think you would. Some of you can remember some of the last words of your loved one departing. Well, this is the last words of Jesus Christ before he went back to heaven. And he says, I'm going to come again. Y'all believe that Jesus Christ is going to come again? And if we knew that Jesus Christ was going to come next Sunday night after services, I mean, after we have our whole week long now, the next Sunday night after our services, that Jesus Christ is going to appear in the air and he's going to rapture church and we're going to go be with the Lord. That's next Sunday night. But how about those that's not saved? How about those who are not saved? 2 Thessalonians, it says there in chapter 2, verse 10, 11, and 12, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what the verse tells us, that they have already had a chance to be saved, and they have rejected Jesus Christ. All of our loved ones, our family, our friends, if they have rejected Jesus Christ, they've had a chance. They've come right up to the cross but say, no, I'm not coming. I'm not going to accept Jesus Christ. And if the Lord will come back, when he does, those are going to be remained left here on this earth, and they'll never have a chance to be saved in a 7-year tribulation time. They're going to be doomed and damned because they've had a chance, and God's going to send them a strong delusion. They will believe a lie because they will not believe the teaching and the preaching and the wooing of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They will not be saved. Many will be saved in tribulation time, but not those. God's speaking to a particular group of people, and the group of people he's talking to is that group of people that's had an opportunity to be saved, knowing they need to be saved, and yet they turned around and they walked away from Jesus Christ and come in a Baptist church somewhere, another or a church, and heard the Word of God, but they turned and walked out the same way they came in. Now, if you know that Jesus Christ is going to come back next Sunday night after services, next Sunday night, you got 1 week, would there be any of your family that you're concerned about? You see, it's not enough to say, I know about Jesus Christ. It's not enough even to be a member of this Baptist church. It's not enough to be baptized by me or anybody else in a Baptist church or any other church or be a member of any other church. That is not enough. You say, well, I know that so-and-so, my friend, family, loved one, I know they've been saved back when they was little, and so they hadn't come to church in 40 years, but I know they're saved. Are they? Are they? You say, well, I know that my children are saved because I see this and I saw this and that and other. Do they love Jesus Christ? Are they coming to church? You say, well, you don't have to come to church to be saved. No, but that's the evidence that you are saved. Hear me. That is the evidence that you are saved. To love the things that Jesus Christ loved. I want to tell you, if we knew this was for next Sunday night, we got 1 more week here on this earth. I want to tell you, we got Wednesday night meeting. We got Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night, and that's going to be it. I want to ask you, do you think that this church attendance will be different in all of our services? Do you believe this church will be different in all of these services? I believe there'll be some type of difference. I believe that Jesus Christ here in his last words, if we would take them seriously, because they're just as serious today as they was 2,000 years ago when he says, I want you to do this, my disciples. And here's the word of Jesus Christ after his resurrection, after he appeared to 5,000 and his disciples. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 28, and we call this the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we know that this is your word. Father, these words come from your blessed lips, God, that those lips is never there anything bad, always something good. And Father, we know, God, that those lips, oh God, it said these words, Lord, they was true, Father. And we want to thank you, Lord, they've been penned that we might be able to hear them. Father, we pray that we might have the understanding, oh God, what you told us to do. Father, we'd like to ask you and for examine our hearts this hour, including mine this day. Lord, have I failed to carry out these last words of my Lord and Savior? Father, as your lips said these words, Lord, and I know they said them because the Word of God is real and it's true. Father, have I failed you some way along the road and not told people about Jesus Christ? Father, do we really believe that you're coming back? Father, do we really believe that people, Lord, is lost in their sin and undone and hopeless, and they cannot be saved without Jesus Christ? Do we believe, God, that it takes more than just knowing about Jesus Christ, being a church member, and just knowing about Jesus Christ? Or do we believe, Lord, that you need to know the living Savior in a very personal way? Father, I just pray, God, that you might put this message on the heart that we need so bad, because we have forgot, God, what you've told us, Lord, we're here for. And Father, that we might go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you might search the heart of everyone here this hour. And Father, let them take a back track upon this past week, upon this past month, oh God. And Father, just ask them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, oh God, have you really asked anybody to come to church? Have you asked anybody, Lord, are they lost and they need to be saved? Have you tried so hard to get someone to come to Sunday school? And have you brought your little ones, Father, to church and to Sunday school like you should bring them? Have you been there on Wednesday night to support your little ones on Wednesday night? Have you been there on Sunday school and been there on time to hear the Word of God on a Sunday school class? Have you knocked on doors and invited other people to come to a Sunday school class? And Father, have you invited people for the service of your church? Do you believe, Father, if you could get people under the sound of the voice, oh God, of the preacher that preaches the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God, do you really believe if you pray for these people, God, that they can be saved? Lord, help us, oh God. Search your heart and see, Lord, just exactly where we stand in Christ Jesus. Father, oh, how we need to reach out, oh God, for that great commission, oh God, today. We have lost sight of what we really left here for. Father, if we know good, Lord, we know that we don't need to be here any longer. But Father, you know, Lord, that we have something to do, and you gave us a great command. Father, help me and everyone here, oh God, to carry this out in the name of our love of our Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen, and amen. All these last words of Jesus Christ, this great commission, have we failed to do what God told us to do? Fail to obey is not merely just neglecting a blessing if we fail to do what Christ has told us, but it's really treason against the high King in heaven. I asked you again today, have you really invited anyone to come to the house of God? Have you went out of your way to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Are you saved here today? Because if you're saved, God has called you to go out upon this world and tell people about Jesus Christ. Every Christian is a missionary, and every Christian missionary orders is the marching orders that Jesus Christ gave us today. Wednesday night I said, to say Christian is to say mission, and to say Christian is to say a soul winner, the soldier of the cross. Onward, Christian soldiers. The first thing I'd like for you to see is this Lord's unlimited power. And to do what God has called us to do, what we need to do, and understand who we are, what we left here to do today, we need to understand the Lord has unlimited power to do what he has called us and told us to do. This unlimited power, it says, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, I have all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, this word, he says, power there, it means I have all authority. Remember this when we're going now, because this will help us to know that Jesus Christ says, I have all power, all authority. His word is final. He has a final word in our life. There's no refusal. There's no rebuttal. The unseen universal of the world today, Jesus Christ says, I have all power. And it says, in heaven. What is that? That means the heavenness, even where we can't even see God has power. God has powers over the angels that you cannot see. God has power over the demons that you cannot see, but you know that here. The angels must serve him. And I'm going to tell you, the demons cannot stand before him. He has power over the unseen world. It says the heavens there over the demons, forces of hell cannot stop the cause of Jesus Christ. But also he says, now I got all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus Christ says, I have the authority here on earth. He says, then he says, go ye therefore. The world, not just the United States, not just around your home, not just in Patterson, Georgia, not just in this state that we're living in, not just this United States that we're living in. It says that you must go to this world that we are living in. We must go to the black, the white, the yellow, no matter what color of skin there is. Jesus Christ died for all mankind. It just don't matter what the color of the skin. All people need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have all power, he says. I have all power. Jesus Christ, I have all authority all over the world. He says every barrier must be broken down. Every wall must come tumbling down. Every language must be gone into. He says all culture must be versed with Jesus Christ. All nationalities, all colors, and all ranks. The United States, yes, that's where we started our home, but the power we have, the power, he said, Jesus Christ, I got the authority and I got the power. Yes, we have a powerful country that we're living in this day. Right now, we still know it's still the powerful country. It's going to fall. It's falling in a hurry, but it's still the powerful country, military-wise, if no other way. But you see what our country done? It went over to Iraq and it freed those people from Saddam Hussein, and they are free from his dictatorship. Because we got the power to blow out any type of city that we want to, and they are free from Saddam Hussein. But I want to tell you, all the military power this country have, they are not free. The Iraqi people are not free unless they are free in Christ Jesus. You understand that? They're not free unless they're free in Christ Jesus. And all of our military strength and all the power that we have of this country, all the military power and any other power, it cannot blow one sin out of a person's heart. Only Jesus Christ. John 8, it says, if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So I want to tell you, those people are still under bondage that don't know Jesus Christ. They are still under a dictatorship, not Saddam Hussein, but they are under a dictatorship of Satan himself. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in the country we're living in today, round about us today, and I really do believe in the homes of a lot of our people today, they are still living under a dictatorship because Satan is their guide. Satan is their God of this world because they serve him. They are lost. They know no different to serve him. Only Jesus Christ can free them in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I have this unlimited power. Now, Jesus Christ had this unlimited power. I'm going to tell you what, we can go into any country with the gospel, no matter what it is, even when our military can't go into that country, and we can free people with the gospel of Jesus Christ that's never been freed before. I'm going to tell you what, you can go into a home that have no respect for God, have no respect for mankind. You can go into a home with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God says, I have unlimited power, no matter where you at, to go back of you and go with you and be in you and carry that gospel. And I'm going to tell you, that gospel can change that home, and it can change lives forevermore. The United States, I'm going to tell you what, we need a lot of work in our own country this day. Jesus Christ says, if the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ has unlimited power to do this. We have forgot about the power. It's not you and I that saves anybody. He just tells us to go. You can't make anybody come to church. You can't make anybody accept Jesus Christ. He didn't tell us to. He just said, carry the word of God, my spirit and my word. Accomplish what I sent it out to do. It will not come back void. But I want to ask you the question, are you going today? Do you understand the unlimited power of Jesus Christ that we have behind every one of us that knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? But not only that, he says, we'll be unhindered people. They can nothing stop us. They have tried to stop Christianity for 2,000 years, and I'm going to tell you what, they cannot stop Christianity. It's going on because the people, we have unlimited power behind us because we have Jesus Christ, and we'll be unlimited, unhindered people this day. We must also be the people he called us to be. He says in verse 18, all power is given to me. And then he says in verse 19, go ye therefore with this power to be unhindered people this day. That therefore, you see what therefore in the Bible, you need to understand. Most of the time it looks back and see what it's there for. He says, I have all power, therefore go ye. And he says, you have this same power. Remember what it says, I got the all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. So as you going, he said, therefore look back and know that I have this power myself. You're not going in on your own power. It's not you that's going, it's me that's going in you that you must tell people and let them understand that Jesus Christ is who that he claims to be. Jesus Christ is the one and the only Savior of the world. There's no other way that man can be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. Do we understand that Jesus Christ one day is going to come back? As I've said, these people have heard and had an opportunity. God is going to leave them behind because they're going to face the Antichrist. They have already had their opportunity, but Jesus Christ has given everybody a chance. He's long-suffering, and the reason Jesus Christ has not come back, that old song says, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is waiting a little longer because he's depending on you and I and every born-again believer in this world today, because Jesus Christ has died for the people that's not yet saved today, and he wants them saved today. And how can they be saved? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it all depends on us. God's not going to send angels for his message out today. He's leaving you and I in this world that we're living in to take it serious what God said. Did you understand that heaven is open up for those that love him? But I'm going to tell you what, hell is open up for those that do not love Jesus Christ. Do you really believe there's a place called hell that mankind goes that do not know Jesus Christ? Do you believe that loving child that you brought into this world and raised up to the age of accountability that you love so dearly, very much, and you do anything for that child, whether it be a boy or a girl, and you love that child, but you believe that child dies and their sin is going to go to a place called hell and burn forever and ever and ever? Do you really believe what the Word of God says? I'm not saying they're going to hell. God says that they're dying, their sin, it don't matter how much you love them, it don't matter how much you love your great grandkids or your grandkids. I'm going to tell you what, when they reach that age of accountability, if they die in their sin, they're going to a place called hell. That little loved one that you brought into this world today, I'm going to tell you, it ought to be a shame for mother and the father that claims the name of Jesus Christ, it claims the name of Jesus Christ and say that I'm saved, and won't bring their children to the house of God on Wednesday night as they grow up, and won't bring their kids on Sunday morning to grow up and hear the word of God to make that great change over when they come to the age of accountability and they say that I'm saved. What would happen when they come to the age of accountability and they say, I want no more of church, I don't want no more of Jesus Christ? I'll ask you the question, do you think someone like that is saved? I'm going to tell you what, it takes more than being a membership for someone to be saved. It takes a personal experience with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, this day. Again, I'm going to tell you, church don't save you, but what church does, it lets you know that you are saved because you love the things that Jesus Christ loved and died for. You, the people that God died for, and I'm going to tell you, I want to be around you in the church that God set up here for a soul-saving station, that people might come and hear the Word of God, and everything that we do, no matter what it is, in order to do to bring people to Jesus Christ. If we have forgot that, we've got away from the wrong thing that God has called us to be. I'm going to tell you, they must be unhindered people going all the way through this world today. All power, all authority is given me because of his power. There's no place, I'm going to tell you what, that Jesus Christ do not belong. There's no power that he cannot break, and there's no sickness that he cannot heal, and there's no person that he cannot use. I'm going to tell you, means of unhindered there in all of our missionary work today. But are we doing any missionary work today? Some say, well, are we a missionary church? I'm going to tell you what, it takes more than giving some money to be a missionary church. I'm going to tell you, every life that's involved here this day, every son of God today is saying right here in this congregation, as a member of this church today, I'm going to tell you, we're all in this together. It's not me and it's not you. And too many times that we're coming to church to please someone else. I'm going to tell you what, it's about time you start pleasing Jesus Christ and don't worry about who else to please or you displease. Don't worry what people says about you or does about you. If you're coming for the right thing, you're coming to see souls saved. And I'm going to tell you, it's a long time since we've seen a person coming down this aisle to be saved today. But I'm going to tell you, a lot depends on you and it depends on me. What we've done this past week, I'm going to tell you, shows up in our services on Sunday morning. A command that says we must go universal because you see the universal, there's a universal in its scope. 1 Corinthians 15, 6, 7, and 8 says, after that he was seen of the about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me. That means Paul also are the one born out of due season. I'm going to tell you this, whenever Jesus Christ was seen to all of them, I'm going to tell you, for 500 at one time and to his disciples. Verse 19 says, go ye. That means plural. It means plural. It don't mean just a select few. If we was going to give a time for everybody to meet at this church and go out and have visitation in this community, how many of us would show up? Well, just a few, but this is not for the few. This is plural. This is for everybody can do something. Say, well, I'm not able, but you can pray, can't you? If we got a set time and we fix to have another set time, the holidays are over, to go out. I'm going to tell you, well, sir, where do you fit in this at when we have a time for visitation? Ma'am, where do you fit in this at whenever God calls you? It's disobedient to God is what it is. Treason against the whole Lord Jesus Christ is what it is. We all in this thing together. How about you? How come you don't come, and how come you don't go? How come God had not talked you about coming and going, about seeing people that need to be saved today? And it says, as we are going along. It might not be when you can come, when we have church visitation. It says, as we are going along. That means your everyday. That means while you in the grocery store. That means while you in the gas station. That means while you on the job. That means while you in school, that you might be telling people about Jesus Christ. It's plural. It's for everybody to say. Christians is to say missionary, and missionary is to say Christians. I'm going to tell you, it's universal in its scope. It's for all of us. But you know, it's individual in its application. No one is exempt, every one of us. You say, well, I'll do what I can. That's what God wants you to do. Do what you can. No one's exempt. No one can hire someone else to do this for you. You're all going to go, but you don't all go to the same place. We don't all have to go to the same place. We don't all do it the same way. I'm going to tell you, but if we don't go, it's for the judgment seat of Christ that we will all stand, I can assure you. If we don't go, there's a judgment seat of Christ. We all must go. Missionary work needs to be, I'm going to tell you, at this church especially. God opened their eyes, please, and opened their heart, because it says the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers there are few. Very, very few, because we have very few people is concerned about even inviting someone to Sunday school. I mean, how many names, I tell you this morning for an illustration, how many names was brought up in your Sunday school class at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church from the very first grade all the way up to the senior citizen? How many names was brought up that we need to visit? How many people mention someone that this Sunday school class ought to go see? How many people, how many names was mentioned that we ought to be praying for that person in that class? Whew. Why are we here? Why do we come to Sunday school? What's the reason? To enjoy ourselves? To enjoy ourselves individuals? You see, as you look, and if you look and you see someone outside where they had a 20-foot pole, a 20-foot pole, light pole, and they was carrying that pole, and there was 10 people carrying that pole. 9 of them was on one end, and there's only one person on the other end of that 20-foot light pole. Now, what would the conclusion be? Someone needs to go to the other end. Well, that's just the way it is for visitation. That's just the way it is for visitation. We got a 20-foot light pole, and there's very few people to carry one end of it. But it's not my end. It's Jesus Christ. That's what we're carrying for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. Because we need to share this. The ability that we have. God has given you an ability. God has given every one of us a gift. He's given you ability. That you can do what I can't do. Every one of us. That's the reason Wednesday night I said, you know what every one of us ought to do? On Wednesday night I told them, and I'm telling you this hour, we ought to have a roll. We're going to get another roll put out there, the roll of our church. And I'm going to tell you, there's about 250 people that's not here on the roll of our church. Where are they at? I want to ask you, do you pray for some of those? Do you visit some of those? That's where you start at, on the roll of your church in Sunday school. And ask them, call them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them you'd like to see them back in church. But you see, the third thing is inescapable in responsibility. You think you're going to escape it? It's inescapable responsibility. If we refuse to obey our Lord's command, what are we saying then when we say we're not going? We don't have to say we're not going, we just don't go. Well, what are we saying? You know what you're saying is? You're saying that I am a disobedient Christian. If you're saved, you are a disobedient Christian. And God says, I will punish you. All right, something else. It says that you do not love the Lord as you should love the Lord. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. If we're not willing to be obedient, you're guilty of not following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. Are you following Jesus Christ? 3, not obeying Jesus Christ. He says, if you abide in me, he says, you will bear fruit. Are you abiding? Are you abiding? You see, this unlimited power, and we are unhindered people. But see, the third thing it tells us, and very, very, very quickly here, it says, God, unchanging program. 2,000 years, God has never changed his program to the church. We act like it's something brand new right now, today. All right, when I said we're going to have the Great Commission, all right, I know what some of you said. Another sermon on that Great Commission. How many times have we heard it? Sometimes I'm even intimidated this time even to preach it because, well, how many times have we heard sermons on the Great Commission? I've heard it before. Well, you need to hear it again. You need to hear it again. You see on television up there in the House of Representatives, they started reading the Constitution. Somebody got up the aisle and said, they're going to start reading the Constitution. And I saw where they started reading the Constitution. First time that ever been done. You know what? Because they got away from the Constitution of the United States. And I'm going to tell you, the Great Commission will be read here in our church. You know why? Because we have got away from the Constitution that Jesus Christ said to go out. To go out, simple and plain. It's so simple and plain. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, after we an unchanging program, we find out that, see, we are to make disciples. You see what it says? Make disciples. All right. Any person dies without Jesus Christ, what happened to them? I done told you, you know exactly right. It don't matter whether they're Jew, it don't matter whether they're Gentile, it don't matter what type of religion they are. If they die without Jesus Christ, they go into a place called hell. In John chapter 3 and 18 and 36 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believe on the Son have life, and he that believe not the Son have not seen life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It says also in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither there is salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that leaves out people, no matter who they are, they go into a place called hell. Sad, isn't it? Maybe a husband. It might be a wife. Maybe a son, maybe a daughter. Might be some grandkids. Right now, if Jesus Christ would come back, I'm going to tell you what, those people would go to hell. They've heard, but they have not accepted. They care less for the things of God. They have proved to God that they do not believe in him. And they would go to a place called hell. It says for us to make disciples and mark disciples in verse 19. It says, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, we need to mark them, baptism. Jesus commanded this. Baptism is very important because, you see, this is the last word of Jesus Christ. He said, baptism. He began his ministry, his public ministry, by going and being baptized by John the Baptist. He began his ministry. Concludes his ministry also in his last words of his public ministry by saying, you know what, go and baptize them. But why was it so important? Because it's the picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection. That is the gospel. Whenever Jesus Christ was baptized, he was identifying himself with us. Whenever we're baptized, we are identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ, his command. He says, you know what? We mark disciples. Matthew 5 and 19 says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of the commandments and teach men also, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That is small commandment to some people, but I'm going to tell you, it's very necessary. If any ordinance that a church have, that the devil could pick one of them, I believe that he would pick to do away with baptism, or to minimize it in such a way, or disfigure it, because it would be at his top to do away with. Because every time a person is baptized, it is the picture of the gospel. You find no sprinkling in the Word of God. That is man's tradition. It is not with the Word of God, because the Word of God submerges, because that is a picture of death and burial and resurrection. What difference does it make then? You're not saved by being baptized. The difference is eternal life, because what it pictures for us today, the gospel, the resurrection, and the great commandments. So you just remember, it says, you know, we make disciples, we mark disciples, but you see, we mature disciples. Verse 20, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, this is the reason that we have Sunday school. It says, you know what? It says for us to do, mark them, and then it says mature them. That's the reason we have Sunday school. But if you don't come to Sunday school, you can't grow. If you can't come to church, you're not going to grow in the Lord, period. You got to come to grow. Oh, Lordy, listen, if your kids, a Sunday school class, that's it, that's evangelism. You know, a lot of times people say, well, we had a great crusade and we counted a bunch of decisions. I'm going to tell you, God don't count decisions. He counts disciples. Those are saved. And here's the test. Here's the test. Is your Sunday school class, is it growing? Here's a test if you're doing what God has called us to do in this grace. Is your Sunday school class growing? All y'all sitting in Sunday school class? Names being brought up? Is your role growing? Have any empty chairs? The fourth thing it says, this unfailing promise. In verse 20, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. The great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ precedes it by a promise of his presence. It says, therefore, as you're going, lo, I'll always be with you, even the end of the world. And then we follow by his presence, because his presence goes with us, his authority is behind us, Christ is within us, and I'm going to tell you the task is before us. I want to ask you one reason. Why shouldn't we go? Why shouldn't we tell people about Jesus Christ? You know, if you tell people about Jesus Christ in a soul-winning effort, Jesus Christ will be real to you than he's ever been before. You will never know the closeness of the Lord as you will any other time. It's when you're trying to tell people how to be saved. There's a closeness that you'll never have no other way. And now, why are we here? Are you saved today? If you say, are you really saved today? If not, you see, next week, it might be it. Jesus Christ might come back. Of course, I know, you know, I'm not guessing when he's coming back, because I don't know. But if you're sitting here this hour and you know that you're lost in your sins and you want to be saved, because you see there's no help, no way that you get to heaven except through Jesus Christ, and you're willing to throw yourself on Jesus Christ because he says, I have all power in heaven and earth, that means forgive every sin that you've ever done. If you bow your knee before Jesus Christ, say, Lord, I want you to save me. I want to repent of my sin. I want you to come to my heart and save me. That means he blows every sin that ever was in that heart, and you are a new born again child, just like a new baby is born in this world. And I'm going to tell you, when a baby is born in this world, just remember it has no past. All of it has is future. If you be a born-again child of God from the time that you was born again, all your is future. You have no past. God has forgiven all your sins. And we come with a song of invitation this hour. We need to understand and heed these last words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I want you to go. That was his last words. And remember that what he tells us today. The evidence is upon our church right now. Have we really done what Christ has told us to do? Are we really the church that God intends us to be? Is that class? Are you satisfied with your life whenever it comes to the Great Commission? Is he talking to you, or is he talking to someone else? Maybe he's talking to the preachers or the deacons or the Sunday school teachers. Maybe he's talking to someone like that. Is he talking to you? I mean, you're not a deacon, you're not a preacher, and you're not a Sunday school teacher. Is he talking to you then? Maybe it's just for those chosen few. I don't think so. That's not what Jesus Christ said. It's plural. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. What have you done to bring someone to the Lord? You don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. You see that we have a lot of retired people. Well, the more time you have to tell people about Jesus Christ, the more that you can go on visitation. As we stand and sing this song. Hear those words? Thank you, Lord, for visiting our hearts this hour. I wonder whose heart's been opened up this hour and he's touched you and let you know you hadn't been doing what you should be doing. You think your time that God has allowed you on this earth, now you're retired, you're having a good time, and you think God's allowed you to have stay on this earth, and you're not supposed to witness, you're not supposed to go. You're not supposed to have visitation. You're not concerned about your Sunday school class. You're not concerned about church. When is the last time that you invited someone to come to church? Be at your Sunday school class. How about you teenagers that go to school or those on the workforce today? Does anything that Lord said to you today fit you this hour? How about you today? You know for sure everybody in this building, if they know if they died this hour, they'd go and be with Jesus Christ, young and old. Bless you. Thank you. I hope you invite somebody next week, even this day. Someone needs to know about Jesus Christ. You see, he might come back. I'm not setting no date, but he might come back to now and then. Not only that, you see, you might be snapped out in life. That person that you need to go witness, that person have no promise of tomorrow just like you and I don't. It could be the last day for that person. It could be the last day for that person. Be praying for those, so many of our saints that can't be here. God knows those are not able to come to church, and he knows exactly.